You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Manchester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
Thanks, Ben. Appreciate you guys. You can come back in a moment's time. And great to have you with us all in church today. We are in our final episode in the book of Galatians. Can we put our hands together and thank God for everything He's been teaching us through the journey of Galatians? I was kind of reminded in my preparation, my final preparation this week, about the times that I have been excited when I have gone to the cinema. There's been specific movies or movie franchises that I have really looked forward to going to see. And I remember some years ago when they announced that the Transformer movies were going to be made. And I actually went to the cinema quite excited about watching Transformer, the first movie there. And, you know, the moment that the robots come into screen for the first time, Bumblebee, and the sound of the robots transforming. I'm going to be really honest, right? The first time that happened in the movie, I choked up. I was like, one sound took me back
to my childhood as in Australia. Saturday mornings in Australia. All of a sudden, I was a child one more time, and I was sitting in front of the TV, drinking a glass of milk and watching Transformer cartoons in the morning. Just happened like that. And I am happy to say that in that first Transformer movie, I wasn't disappointed with it. I thought it was good. It had everything. But I guess every single one of us have watched a Netflix series or an Amazon Prime series, something on Sky, you know, over an extended period of time. Anyone ever been disappointed with the end result? Or you've been disappointed with kind of, you know, all the hype surrounding a movie. You go, you watch it, you go, oh, is that it? Disappointment. I think Paul, in writing the book of Galatians, doesn't want to leave us disappointed with the end result. And thank God that when we read Galatians chapter 6 right now, He's not disappointing us. We're not finishing on a low. We're finishing on a high with something that I believe can really set us up for future success as individuals, as a church, and also in your business and family life as well. So come on, church, one more time here in Manchester, also in Chester. I want you to stand to your feet as we read together from the book of Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. It says this: brothers and sisters, because as Chip said earlier in our worship here, we are family. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you too may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Anyone met anyone like that? Anyone who thinks they're something when they are not, they deceive themselves, the Bible says. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves. They can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man will reap what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Now, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, you will receive a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Down to verse 15, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Down to verse 18, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters, amen. The title of this message is Bored Again. Bored Again. Father, we thank you for your word and pray that in these moments that we have as we finish this book of Galatians together, I pray, Holy Spirit, would you take away all distractions from the word today, and would you cause that which is to be revelation and life change to every individual be the thing that remains, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. You can grab a seat. You can grab a seat. We are all hardwired. We are all hardwired in our DNA to get bored. Let me say it again. We are all hardwired in our DNA to get bored. All you have to do is go to a toddler and give to a toddler a toy and watch that toddler with a toy. They'll play with it for just only 3 minutes or so and then drop it and look for something else to play. If you then bring that toy and give it back to that same toddler, the toddler will play for that same toy for a less amount of time, drop it in search of something else. And if you then bring the toy a third time to that child is going to be annoyed and will probably not play, and probably at that moment you will get some tears. Now, the Oxford Dictionary defines bored as this: feeling weary and impatient because one is unoccupied or lacks interest in one's current activity. Paul says in Galatians 6, do not get weary, bored, take for granted, because you will reap a harvest. Now, it's in our nature to get bored and to get weary and take for granted. We take for granted things like sunsets. You know, when you get to Spain or France or wherever you're going on holiday, when lockdown's lifted and everyone can travel again, those first few days, week or so on the beach, when you see the sunset, you are going to be, wow, that is amazing. But human nature is the longer and the more we see something good, the more we take it for granted. Hey, let's face it. We took for granted coffee shops. We took for granted our favorite restaurant. We took for granted the movie theater, the cinema. We took for granted freedom, didn't we? We took for granted our health. I've been having an ongoing situation with this right eye, and of late, I've been going into hospital to get injections into my eyeball. Now, it sounds worse than it actually is, but it's amazing how much you can take for granted, get weary. Paul says, get bored of good things because familiarity breeds. Same with church. If we're not careful, because we are hardwired to get bored, to take things for granted and to get weary, then we can take for granted the church that we find ourselves in, the family of believers, the fact that we can worship. Let's face it, we took for granted the praise pit. We took for granted the fact that we have an amazing car park that probably, if it wasn't for COVID this Easter, we would have another festival out there with the big Ferris wheels. Remember that? And the bouncy castles and all the things that we've done and the big give. We take for granted because it's hardwired in us to get bored. The thing about boredom is this, is that boredom creates a stress hormone called cortisol. And with boredom and the increase of cortisol, what that does is that increases your anxiety and can lead to the onset of depression simply because of boredom. But what anticipation does is anticipation of something new does something different to you. When you anticipate something new, like a new iPhone or some new clothing or a new car or a new house or a new relationship or a new church, then what begins to happen at that point is it activates neurotransmitters called dopamine. And dopamine is the pleasure center. Dopamine is the feel-good factor in your life and in my life. It's where we have pleasure. It's the system of reward, and it motivates you. Now, behavioral neurologists actually tell us this. Boredom has a good place in our life because it motivates you to create and find something new. As a child, I used to go up to my mum during the school holidays and say, "Mum, I'm bored." And my mum would always reply with the same thing. "If you're bored, I'll find you something to do." And I learned early on in my childhood that mum finding something for me to do was never going to be as fun as me finding myself something to do. You know what I'm talking about? Mum wanted me to do chores. I wanted to play. And what happened was this, is boredom motivated me to find new ways as a child with my friends playing in the street. New games were invented because of boredom, the pursuit of dopamine in order to feel good about life. It's amazing, isn't it, how God writes this science into scripture before the scientists discover it. Did you know the Wright brothers with flying were motivated by the reading of scripture? Did you know the inventor of the submarine was motivated by what he read of currents under the sea in scripture? And regarding cortisol and dopamine, the Apostle Paul puts it this way. He says, "Hey church, don't get weary, don't get bored, don't take for granted doing good, because if you hang in long enough," he says, "you will reap a harvest." What's he saying here? He's saying, church, find new ways to do good. Find a new way. Find a new thing that will motivate you to do good. You see, here's the problem. Most people in search of dopamine are looking for the wrong thing. Trading in an old relationship for a new relationship. Trading in an old church for a new church, which is why some people are nomadic Christians and really struggle with the idea of staying planted in a local church. Some people are trading in phones and trading in cars and going into more debt in life because it's a pursuit of dopamine, that feel-good pleasure center in our lives. But Paul says, hey, why don't you understand what it is to be planted and where you are now, where you are, find new ways to do good. He lists a whole heap of things here that we really haven't got time to get into everything, but let me highlight a few things. Number one, fruit of the Spirit. And we looked at that last week in church, so I really don't need to say any more about it this week. But really what he's saying is this, is that when you're up against it, when the challenges are running thick and fast, when usually you would fly off the handle and let loose and your old way, your flesh, the negative part of you would react, find a new way to respond. And Paul is suggesting that the new way to respond is with the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, long-suffering, self-control. Find new ways through the operation of the fruit of the Spirit to respond in familiar times and seasons of your life. That's the first thing he's saying, because chapter 6 comes after chapter 5. But in what we read just now in chapter 6, he gives us a few more things to find new ways to do good. And the first way is this, is by restoring people. Here's what he says. You who live by the Spirit should restore that person. Which person? The person caught in sin. You should restore that person gently. Now listen, I've been in church long enough and been to enough churches in enough countries and spoken to enough Christians in my life to know that sadly, in some elements of the church world, there are some who don't heed Paul's advice. Because what he says here is this, is that we should restore people gently. Not in a rough manner, not in an aggressive manner, not in a manner that cuts people off. But what we should do and what we should be is find a new way as individuals to continue the operation of restoring people gently. So let me say this to everybody in online campus and everybody in Chester and in Manchester today. Let me say this. If you have failed, or you are currently failing, the reality is this, is that every single one of us at some point will at some point in the future fail. Let me say this. Welcome to Audacious Church, where God loves you, your church family loves you. It's a place where people who are not perfect but are striving to live out this God life with as much grace and peace that we can. This is a place, friend, where you are welcome. It's a place called family, where we're brothers and we're sisters. And the truth is this, is that somebody says, you can't choose your family. Well, I want you to know, yes, you can, my friend. And when you choose to plant yourself in a house like Audacious Church, you're going to find that the cancel culture doesn't live here. You know about the cancel culture. We'll preach on it sometime. The whole idea that we dismiss people and write people off because they did something wrong. The cancel culture is not gospel culture. Gospel culture is interdependence. I need you. You need me. We need each other. And together, we're stronger. Oh, please, Audacious Church people, when you have failed or are failing, don't allow shame to weigh you down and hold you back from the gathering of God's people. No, that's the time when you've got to be reaching out to your life group leader. That's when you've got to be reaching out to the people in your life group, your family and friends in the house of God, because together we're stronger. There is an independence that I believe comes from the pit of hell that says, when I have messed up, I've got to make it through myself. No, you don't. We are in this to restore each other gently. So whether or not it's your fault or someone else's fault or whatever, friend, let's not fall into cancel culture. Let's not allow a victim narrative to rule our thinking and our responses. Let's just learn to do what we've been talking about for 7 weeks in this series, to love, to show grace, and to show peace in Jesus' name. Come on, that is awesome. Let's put our hands together and thank God for that truth today. Find new ways to do good. Find new ways to restore someone. The third thing he says about finding new things to do, find new ways, is in bearing each other's burdens. And again, this leans into family. This leans into interdependence, because it says here, carry each other's burdens. Oh, Audacious Church, let's find new ways to do this. I love Tim and Carrie Byram and the family. Tim, of course, you know, was an ex-soldier. And seeing soldiers come out of the horrific things that they face in battle and in war, decided that they can become a couple and a family who would bear each other's burdens. And so to all of our Army veterans in that yurt watching church online right now, we want you to know that you have a church family who love you. We think you're amazing. We want to thank you for the sacrifices that you have given so that we can be free and we can enjoy the freedom that we have to worship and to know and to love each other. But I love Tim and Carrie's heart in that. Their heart was to bear someone else's burden. Church, let's become good at doing this. I heard this week about a life group leader in our church who used their own money to help pay for someone who was stuck in another country to fly back to the United Kingdom. How good is that? Find new ways to do good. I don't know if you're in our life groups. We have hundreds of small groups in the Life of Audacious Church. But did you know every time someone in a life group experiences a tragedy, a loss, or the birth of a new baby, to see the life groups rally to supply food, to supply financial aid, to get around in prayer and practical support, that's what Paul's talking about when he talks here in the Bible about carrying each other's burdens. It's phenomenal. I heard that Wayne and Hannah Adkins 11 months ago when the pandemic, or 12 months ago when the pandemic set in, they realized that in their neighborhood, there were people who were isolating, people who are isolated. And so 11 months ago, set up a rota, and everybody in the neighborhood participates in this rota of grocery shopping for the people who are at home isolating, who can't get out, and have been doing that for 11 months. Friends, that's what I'm talking about when it comes to carrying each other's burdens. Let's find new ways to do good. One of the young men in our church, he will love me for calling him young. Every day since the pandemic started, he has been cooking a meal for his next door neighbor. That's what I'm talking about. And I think that's what Paul is talking about, where he says, come on, carry each other's burdens. The fourth thing, and this is slightly embarrassing, so we're not going to spend much time on this, is support the teacher. Find new ways to support the teacher. The one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. See, Paul had a problem. The problem that Paul had in Galatia was this, is that there was no support for those who were bringing the word of God. But let me just make this broader and say, any person in your life who you acknowledge as a wise person, as a sage, as a teacher, as a mentor, as an instructor, the Bible's really saying here that you shouldn't just receive instruction from them, but you should also share with what you have back to them. So if you're into martial arts and you're sensei, what are you sharing with your sensei? Now, if you are in the business place and space and you have a business mentor, how are you sharing with them? Just on Thursday, I met up with a friend in our church who brought me a gift before we started our conversation. And it was an awesome gift, something he knows that I really love. I didn't expect it, but the Bible says this, the gift makes way for the giver. So I want to ask you this, how are you blessing those in your world who are bringing wisdom and sound counsel to you? Let me speak to students, about your teachers, about your lecturers, about your professors in school, in college, in university. What Paul is saying is this, don't be people who just take instruction from college and go home. No, what Paul is saying is this, how can you share with what you have received encouragement back to your teacher in college and school? Because the next verse says this, don't be deceived, God cannot be mocked. A man and woman will reap what they sow. In other words, don't just take instruction. Don't just take counsel from wise people in your world. You too choose to be a blesser. You too. And can you imagine what that would be like? Oh my gosh, how that would revolutionize the church world. Do you know how much that would change the way we speak about our prime minister, about our monarchy, about Harry, about Meghan, about Mr. Hancock and everybody else? Because the reality is this, friends, is that we have got to be different. Because if we're the same as the world, then what change is that bringing? The Bible says you are a city on a hill. The Bible says you are light in the darkness. And the Bible says three remain, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. What would it look like if we, the church, rose up with that spirit? I think that would be amazing. The fifth thing as I close is this, is Paul is saying, find new ways to do good in embracing opportunity. Verse 10, therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, including your enemies. Let us do good to all people, including the prime minister. Let us do good to all people, including the people you don't agree with, but especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Like, what does it look like for us to be a church where on a Sunday, we are coming into this place and we're tuning in online with a prayer that says, Lord, how can I bless somebody else's life? I love the Audacious Church Facebook swap and recycle group. It's awesome. A few years ago, I read out everything that was going on. And I said, you know, better than making 20 quid out of that pair of shoes, why don't you just put it on the recycle page and say, hey, anybody want, I went on this week, I saw people were giving away TVs and somebody was giving away a car and somebody was giving away winter wardrobes. And since you have the opportunity to do good. The thing is this, friends, is when you step into God opportunities, you begin to realize patterns and rhythms. And what begins to take place is that by staying planted, not going in search of dopamine in another geographic location or another job place or another church or another ministry or whatever, but by staying planted and recognizing the opportunities, it's amazing how the opportunities increase to the point where that which was a dream begins to come to pass because you understand what the Bible says, blessed is a man and woman who is planted in the house of God. Audacious Church is a dream come true for a lot of people. And as I sit and I talk to people through the life of the church, who've been in our church for a long time, just next week I'm sending out a questionnaire to certain individuals, 30 individuals who've been in our church over 10 years. I'm doing some research on a few things. And the reality is that for all of those who I'm sending this research out to, those 30 people, they have embraced moments of opportunity so that now together collectively as a church, what we do is remarkable. The corporate impact of this faith community is incredible. We can talk about McMillan. We can talk about how Audacious Church is the pastoral referral agency for people living with cancer. And when people who are diagnosed with cancer and need support, they phone up and somebody says, hey, Audacious Church. And they say, hey, how can we help you? And they say, we've got cancer. The hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, probably well over 1,000 from over the years, families that have been supported because people were planted, walked through the doors of opportunity that God presented. And now where's their hope? It's hope with the family of God. We can talk about A-teams, can't we? We can talk about the fact that 6 nights a week and mornings, the teams are out crazy hours doing crazy things, serving the broken and the vulnerable and the hurting. We can talk about our worship music that goes around the world or the online church team that are making this service available now, not just for people in the United Kingdom, but 70 plus nations that tune in regularly in order to see church. It's incredible, friends, what happens when you do what the Bible says, embrace opportunities. Billy Graham said this years ago. Find some friends, change the world, and have fun doing it. And I'm so thankful that 13 years ago, a group of 12 friends got together. We kind of liked each other. We decided, let's change the world and let's have fun. And we're all a part of that right now. Hey, don't get weary with the lack of opportunity. But by being planted, you'll see open doors of opportunity and end up reaping a harvest if you don't give up. So here's my question as I close. How can we become more creative in doing good? How can you become more creative in doing good? How can you become more creative in doing good in Audacious Church, in your neighborhood, in the workspace, in the workplace? Because the Bible is really, really clear that in doing good, we will reap a harvest. I love what he says here in verse 12. He says this, those, get this, he's speaking to the church, those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. In other words, there were people in the Galatian church who were worshiping the false god of approval. And he was saying, there are more things that you need to do in order to get approval. In other words, what was happening was this. Paul is saying that there are people telling you need to do more in order to get approval. But when you step back into chapter 4 and you realize, hang on a minute, we already have approval. I'm approved by God. You're approved by God. And so in chapter 1, some people are going to try and mess up your Christian faith. And so you've got to do more. In chapter 2, we just got to line up. I'm saved by grace through faith, and now I'm just lining up my life. In chapter 3, we began to understand the power of grace over law. In chapter 4, who's your daddy? I know who my daddy is, my Father God, who acknowledges me and you as sons of the Most High God. Chapter 5, oops, I did it again. That's okay, because there is a juicy fruit for us. And here, whoops, I'm bored again. But that's all right. Find new ways to do good. And where does Paul end in the book of Galatians? He ends with what he began with. Verse 18. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Brothers and sisters, amen. Because Audacious Church, and this is it, the entry point is grace. We live by grace and we exit by grace, because he's, as he said way back in the beginning, and now, may the grace and peace be to you from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online, every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.